Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dennis.
How about you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I am good. And you?
I'm very good, too, man. I'm honored to be able to talk to you on 2 days like this.
you'll annoy people twice as much. Go ahead.
I called back and asked to say something to you, but the time ran out.
You've run out, okay.
Listen, from the time you've been a Beijing, and that's a long, long time, have you ever seen any violent protests in Barbados?
No, sir.
Good.
No.
We just had over nearly 20,000 or 25,000 people in Queen's Park. Did you see any problems, any protests, any violence?
Not that I could recall seeing, sir. Not even an elbow in.
Right. I mean, you know what is wrong with this country. Barbadian people must understand that they must protest, because we have demonstrated that we were peaceful and will not be violent in protest. But we don't protest, so that's why the banks do the things that they do to us. That's why the churches do the things that they do to us. That's why business people do the things they do to us, because we don't protest, even though we have demonstrated beyond a shadow of a doubt that we are not violent people.
So you know what I see quite regularly?
Yeah.
And hear quite regularly?
Mm-hmm.
I can get victimized if I raise my voice.
But that is true.
I hear that all the time. And I keep asking people, so I can't get victimized. Why should I raise my voice?
But there's no worse than that. There's one victimize your children.
Yeah, I know that. I know that.
No, sir. Let me tell you something, Mr. Johnson. But you know why that is so? Because the people do not mobilize themselves.
Yeah.
All these fools with banks, and you go to a bank. I go do a job for a man. The man give me a check for $50,000. Or even $10,000, or even $5,000. And I go and work hard. I start doing my road. I work and fence anything for this man. And I go to the bank with my check. Which is his check.
Yep.
And they tell me they ain't cashing it because I need a customer. Why don't I have a customer? He's the customer. And I do the work for him. All I need to do is go and take up all my things and carry them away. So you ain't got the money to buy it, my friend.
Yeah, that's it. Yep.
So what we need to do, Mr. Johnson, is to really start doing what we got at, protesting peacefully, right? And mm-hmm. I think we'll get a lot of changes. But that's what I want to talk to you about, Mr. Mm-hmm. Johnson. I can ask you a decent question. You discuss it as that nobody knows the age of the earth.
Yeah.
So therefore, I also want to say, you know, to carry forward that people who talking today about religion better understand that all the problems that we have in the world today are created because of religion. All, not some, but all. And I tell you why. Let me explain what it is. Lack of evil people promoting religion.
I got you.
Right. I know you.
I got you. But I want to make sure that people get you too, eh? Because people always say that you're picking on their religion, Note the underlying there, right? Go ahead.
No, I don't. Mr. Johnson?
Yes, sir.
Before it was what it is now, mm-hmm. Pakistan and
Bangladesh
all
and yeah. Ceylon India, and all of them, yeah. They were
millions upon millions of people. And England, with a few million people, used to dominate them countries.
That's correct. They colonized it, and they did most of the world.
Why they did that? Why that happened, Mr. Johnson? You see, people at some stage got to be prepared to be soldiers. And soldiers, when they go out, know that they can die. Now, they don't go to die, but they know.
But they know that it can happen.
That it is a possibility they can die, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, only when Mahatma Gandhi decided this ignorance must stop, sit down in the white thing there, and decide he will starve and all kind of thing, is when Britain understand that they can control that.
That they couldn't hold, yeah.
Right? No.
Because he had supporters and people were behind him, and it wasn't just one man, yep.
Right. Now, the guy, Mandela, mm-hmm. prepared as a young, bright attorney at law to spend the balance of his life in prison to change South Africa. Now, when he came out a little soft by the change South Africa, though. Right?
True.
What I'm trying to say, Mr. Johnson, that all the problems that we are having in Barbados and in the Caribbean, because one of the biggest problems in the Caribbean is that these political leaders don't understand that even as they keep prime ministers of the countries, there should be one mobilized policy. So if I go to Trinidad and do anything in Trinidad, it should be just like if I do in Barbados. But because we are individuals, each of them get afraid, and business people come from all over the world and take advantage of these Caribbean countries because there's no policy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you understand. I know you understand what you're saying.
So I understand. Right? So I follow you clearly, you know.
I know, Mr. Johnson. Now, if they had... Still, you can still be Prime Minister of Barbados, Prime Minister of Trinidad, Prime Minister. But when you come to Barbados and this problem, and when you try to get rid of you in Trinidad, you can get rid of it if you know it's impossible here.
Here. Yeah, that's correct.
So you will not have a problem, right?
Right. Now, nope.
This is what you want to say. Mr. Johnson, all the people that look like me and you, praying every day for this Jesus, I say all that to say this, you know, because the world ain't no start. The problems in the world with crimes and murder and victimization and enslavement all start as because of people with religion. Like you say, Mr. Johnson, not religion. I appreciate that. When I go into the churches, I pray and tell God, I thank you for allowing me to be in one of your holy places. But when I look about the mother and the pulpit, I don't thank God to listen to him.
You're not thanking him. So, and that's why I made the comment I made, right? Because I used to hear quite often from people, oh, I believe in Pastor X, and I believe in Pastor Y, and Pastor so-and-so is my pastor, and I must follow what he says. I keep looking at them and asking why. So I got rapped hard on my knuckles, even by my old man, I must admit, who changed from one religion to the other when he got fed up too. But anyhow, I was sitting in TTT, Trinidad and Tobago Television, one day, and a pastor was preaching the morning prayer, and he was talking about blessed are the poor.
Yeah.
And he said that, you know, Jesus said bless the poor, but he doesn't bless the conditions the poor live in places like Laventille and so on. And he didn't even say other places.
Right.
So when he came off and we were talking, he asked me who I was. I told him. He said he knew my old man. And we were chatting. And I asked him, I said, but let me ask you a question though. Where Jesus say blessed are the poor? So he looked at me and said, read the Beatitudes, young man. I said, you say blessed are the poor in spirit. He looked at me and asked me, where you get your theology degree from? I say, not the same place you got yours, because you didn't get it right. And he got vexed with me. But you see, it is not that he didn't mean well, you know. It's just that he chose a piece of the Bible to say that you must treat the poor people in Laventille well. But the part he chose did say that.
Not only that, you want to treat them well, you mean you want them to keep poor.
You should be teaching them how to make, and this is it.
Which
is what I was saying to him. I said, sir, if you want to say we need to lift the poor out of their poverty, say
right.
so. Say yes, to be Christian means you must help the people who are poor. Don't go and quote a piece of scripture that is saying what you say. Right. But anyway, we had a long quarrel, and I just, you know, tell him, all right.
Mr. Johnson,
and he promised to pray for me.
Let me say this to you. I have a habit that whenever anybody asks me for money, that, you know, the people on the streets and things, I always want to give them. But I'm always uncomfortable giving them. Let me explain to you why. I don't want to touch their hand, right? Because I know 99% that the hands ain't clean.
Okay.
You know, the other was home and a message comes to me. Now, so you don't have to touch the hand. Keep $2 bills on you. So when you see them and they ask you, stretch out the $2 bill leg and hold one and you hold the other
hand.
You let go up. So you don't touch the hand. You understand what I was just telling Mr. Johnson?
I understand what you just said.
No. The reason it looks bad too if you hold your hand too high and drop the money in the hand, you know, it looks like dehumanizing a human being. It looks bad.
Mm-hmm.
No, I say all this guy wants to say this. They told me that Jesus is the Son of God. I don't accept it, but I going along with what they're telling me for now. They told me he came on this earth and teach mankind how to live. The only thing they not do that I know about is married to a woman. So I still got a little problem how he can teach me to live with a woman when he never lived with one. But anyway, serious. Are you playing? I want black.
I just thinking of the... Okay, go ahead.
No. No. He came down here and he teach me how to take 5 loaves of bread and fish.
And share it among the multitude.
Right? Mm-hmm. He teach me everything, how to live kind with each other. In other words, everything, even teach us not to attack each other, turn the other cheek, mm-hmm. don't call mm-hmm. women because they're prostitutes.
Look at stone them right. Yeah.
Right, and he who without sin cannot. In other words, it teaches everything that if we use it, we'll be real good.
We what should
do you
be able.
To come back, Mr. Johnson?
What
we want you to come back to teach us now?
To teach us again, because apparently some people didn't get the message.
They
sir, if history repeats itself, he can nail to a cross again. Or perhaps this time they might poison him. I don't know.
Destroy again. Sir, what I'm saying is
because, sir, because underlying it all, we want somebody else to keep either fixing our faults or to pay for our transgressions.
Maybe
we don't want to fix ourselves.
And the final thing I want to show you, Mr. Johnson, this world is run by, don't let me say run, because you say run, pig, and start thinking, meaning government.
Government,
right?
Yes.
But I'm not talking about, I'm talking about the human beings.
Mm-hmm.
This world is run by lies, corruption, dishonesty, and thieving. This is what is the main thing that runs this earth. And the reason why we have the problem is because we seem not to understand that we must challenge these things. So if you look around the world now, you discover a few pig gang, a few top cats gang into prison for thieving. And I mean presidents and prime ministers and things.
Mm-hmm.
So all I want to say to Barbadian people, especially black Barbadian people, you have no future unless you unite your resources with your own and start with your own family. If you're going to read the Bible, read it together.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to invest collectively. Mm-hmm. You do not have a chance when you have five or six people of the same, over 21 or even under 21, but over 21, in a family working, whether they're married and living or not, and before they mobilize some of their resources to build an empire for the family, each one trying to find out how he could succeed, be better than the brother or better than the sister, which is foolishness. So I want to explain to Barbadian people, since Jesus came down here and teach us how to live, we don't want Jesus to come back no more. We want to implement, Mr. Johnson, the things that he taught us. The reason why you are so outstanding a moderator is because you just read and listen and you implement logic. The other moderators are good too, but for me, you're the best because you have a tendency of analyzing things differently. And you don't worry why I tell you, nobody tell you, you just try to come and make a statement that makes sense to the world. So what NASA said don't matter to you. But if what he said has some logic in it, then you will come and articulate it at even at a wider angle, which is not too easy to do, but you do it. So I want to say to Barbadian people, especially the black Barbadian people, stop believing that the love of money is the root of all evil, because your Bible tells you that money is the answer to all things. Therefore, don't thief, don't do wrong things to get money, but mobilize the resources with people who look like you so you can get some money. You do not have to love money to want money because you will not achieve anything without it. Mr. Johnson, if you could achieve anything without money, you tell me.
Well,
the book that I just lent to you there, I had to buy it,
mm-hmm.
You understand? So money helped you to get that book.
But sir, I always tell, and I tell this to my children all the time, it is only effective when you can use it to achieve a means to an end. If you find yourself in a situation where you're stuck on a desert island, and as you said, what you need is the assistance of a friend,
yeah.
The money ain't gonna help you then.
No.
It is having a friend who can assist you
of course.
Will make the difference. So
of
you must
course.
Always remember, in whatever you do, don't cut out your friends, your relatives. My son now tells me what? You're not just my father, you're my people. I tell him, gather a few more people around here, and you should be all right. But that's the level of conversation. I agree with you on this. Eh? I think for far too often, we see each other as stumbling blocks to our progress, and we feel the only way we could rise higher is to pull everyone else around us down. And it is something that we need to get out of our psyche, because
we
it has
it
kept...
Though.
Well, I hope we can, because if we don't, we can lose another four or five generations, Brother Nasser. And I don't think we can afford to lose them. Honestly, we look around and we see other people progressing and we see how they work together, and we don't seem to emulate the good things they do, we cry about something that they're not doing or the way they look, or we don't like something or the other about ourselves. And it is unfortunate. It really is unfortunate. It has kept us back for too long. Much, much too long. 4341790. John, let's see if we can get one more in before we go to the latest. Let's try it. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm not bad, ma'am. And you?
I'm blessed.
Okay.
I'm calling to share an entity with some praise. I'm talking about the people at the States Rose Polyclinic, the environment section, Mr. Maurice Gaskin and company, and Miss Aline. I had a situation here at Wynwood Garden, St. Philip. Mm-hmm. I wrote a letter and I get an initiative with my neighbors, and they came up front and they dealt with it, and the issue has been solved. Mm-hmm. I called this morning to give them heartfelt thanks,
good,
a part of gratitude and love. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate what they have done thus far, and I sincerely thank them from the depths of my heart. Because on that note, I have also heard that last week they get a tongue lashing. So I'm also seeing if they get a tongue lashing,
they should get a shower with praise. Agreed.
So this morning, I come with thanks and appreciation and a heart of love and indebted to them, me and my neighbors at Wynwood Garden. We heartfeltly thank you for what you have done and continue to keep the good work. Whatever you do, God bless you and continue to spread it with love. Dennis, I appreciate you. Thank you. God bless you and your household and your workstation. As I say and I end, blessing on each and every household. Love you all.
Thank you very, very much indeed, ma'am. It is always good when people say thanks, because sometimes that means just as much to the folks who have put themselves on the line as getting their paychecks at the end of the month. They like to feel appreciated too. Brass X, good afternoon. Glad we could help you get that message over. Hello. Brass X, good afternoon. 4341, good afternoon. Okay, I guess they've decided to abandon us for the news. Someone wants the pensionable age moved back to 65 as opposed to 67. I would support that. I mean, you know, that's one of the things I suppose going forward the government would have to look at. Someone also sent a message saying, now that the students are going to have their tuition fees paid, can they have their income tax refunds? There will always be a need, and everyone stands in line. On last week, Wednesday, when I was missing, I actually attended the luncheon at the Barbados Chamber of Commerce that the Prime Minister addressed, and one of the persons participating asked about tax refunds and said that, you know, the squeaky wheel got the grease. And the Prime Minister said that that system would be changed. They would look at allocating some money to the repayment of refunds, VAT refunds and income tax refunds, and it would then go back to, I think what the person suggested was, those who are owed the over longest period would get paid first, and she said they'd try to work that out as well. All these various changes that we have to make to ensure that some semblance of order and equity returns to our system. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some cooperation. And we're going to have to change our attitude to governance. I keep saying that's where the key is. It's not which party is in office. Is does the institution of government stand up to the scrutiny and the demands of the populace? It's the same thing with banking. If you have international banks that are responding to banking laws in their jurisdiction, and the needs of their customers in those jurisdictions, why is it imposed on our jurisdiction without us saying these are our demands for the banking system in our jurisdiction? This is what we require of a bank. If they can do it, I know it was told by a banker that we don't have enough people for them to have enough customers for it to matter if I close my account. Okay, so let 250,000 accounts matter. Because my own too small to matter. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
got
hello.
You.
Yeah. I agree with everything that you and Mr. Nassar say and have said.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Everything. But it's a very big task that people like us have ahead of us. And that task is to get the people united. Right? And I find that a lot of petty differences is what keep people divided. I don't like you or your son or your daughter. I don't like the political party that you support. All kind of petty foolishness. And in the meantime, all of us are being affected by whatever is going on. We do not live in a democracy.
We live
in fear. We live in fear. And I always tell people, fear don't exist, you know. You students make that fear a reality.
Yeah, it's what you want, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because if you want to cross the road, and that road could be as clear as crystal, and you got embedded in your mind, you're going to be knocked down.
You're not crossing.
Mind, you're going to be.
Yeah. Same thing with the sea. People not going into it.
You see?
Yeah.
And another thing, let me tell all of them. But all of them, death is part of life. Right? And it's not how long you live, it's how you live your life. And if you really love our children and our grandchildren, you will come together and help contract that road. Start so they can finish, but we can't go on like this. We need to look at ourselves. We really, really got to look at ourselves. And that's my contribution for the day.
Okay, boss. I thank you very much. As usual, you are on point and out. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, darling. How are you?
I am good, ma'am. And you?
I saw so.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Johnson, I got a message from my prime minister. I love her. I would like to take 2 weeks vacation. I know she looks tired. I can feel it in me when she speaks. And next thing I want to talk about, I do love the name.
I asked her about that, but she says she all right, so I suppose she all
right. She would say so, because she's a fighter. And next thing I want to talk about, I know my minister would get St. Andrew do. He handed the lamb out, and he had to ease it out, he had to pull it out. And the next thing I want to talk about.
You on a roll today, man.
You're having a good time today, boy.
Uh-huh.
I do love you, Dennis. That's the honest truth. You do play and talk here, you know. And you all come there for the friends.
It got me in trouble already.
My mouth is getting me in trouble.
No, my mouth is getting me in trouble.
No, why spell it like it is? You know that. You know it don't cool out too. And the next thing I want to see happen. These people that doing government work, as secretaries,
mm-hmm.
they need to sit down and do the work. They're putting it to a lot of, they call a lot into a lot of music, and then you go really long. I realize it, and this is nonsense. That's where you got a secretary. And the next thing I want to tell you,
mm-hmm.
the credit union is who can't ready people, because they're getting unfair in the tire, so they're going over to Barbados Public Workers Credit Union. You can get any amount of money you want from there. The boy ain't going to touch your money. Have a good afternoon, darling.
You too, ma'am. I am well known over that institution for a long while. I'm well known at that institution for a long while. Look, we have choice. We have options. And I think it is important for us to tell our banking community, look, we appreciate your work. We appreciate having you here. We have stayed with you over a period of time. We've grown accustomed to you. We have done this. We've done that. This is what we require. This is where central bank regulations, this is where the power of the consumer comes into play. We are just taking it too easy and saying, set up a national bank, it will fix it. And what is going to surprise us or nationalize the banks? The process of nationalizing banks is not an easy one. It is more not only a political discussion, it is also a financial consideration. Trinidad was able to do it in the 1970s because of the oil boom. And they found various ways to democratize the banking system by opening up shares to the public. And because the Trinidad public at that time, running over with petrodollars, got into the investment scheme and the feel of investments. They invested. But look at what has happened afterwards. Once Trinidad ran into financial problems, once they started floating their dollar, bit by bit, the international banks bought back their shares. Royal Bank from Royal Bank of Canada to Royal Bank of Trinidad and Tobago Limited, back to Royal Bank of Canada. It upset me because I worked with that institution and I knew how it was built and who built it. You know, so if you go to the nationalized, set up your own, and then the international banks say, you can't trade with us, you can't send US through our banks, you can't send Canadian dollars to your family through our banks, you can't remit funds through our banks, you're locked down. And they've shut down banks in other countries because of it. Correspondent banking is not as easy in today's environment as we think it is. What I object to, I will say again, is a bank setting up regulations to fit their customers in their jurisdictions with their laws and telling us in our jurisdiction we have to follow. And we do so blindly because they've been here for the last 80 years or 70 years or however long. That I can't get right. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
I want to join the debate regarding the banks in Barbados not wanting to pay checks which are drawn on them. And I want to do so first by sharing with you my background. I have been a banker all my life.
Okay.
Prior to 1988, I was a senior banker here in Barbados.
Okay.
Since then, I've been in all the other OECS islands as a banker. And one of the special skills I acquired is to write bank manuals in a lot of these islands. And in order to do so, I had to work with eminent attorneys' office in the other islands. And when I heard the debate and the matter of the bank refusing to honor a check drawn on them, I did my research.
You went to the banking laws?
I actually went to the laws of Barbados, Chapter 304, the Bill of Exchange Act.
Ah, yes.
Now, the Bill of Exchange Act is what governs instruments. And I'm going to read to you a number of sections to build up my case. Now, it appears that this act was updated in 1985. And part three of the act deals with checks on a banker. And let me read section 73 of that act. One, a check is a bill of exchange drawn on a banker payable on demand. And section 73.2, it says, except as otherwise provided in this part, the provisions of this act applicable to bills of exchange payable on demand apply to a check. And that means that the Bill of Exchange Act is the all-encompassing act for checks.
Checks in Barbados, yep.
Right. So, and I read section 75 of that same part 3, revocation of banker's authority. And it says, the duty and authority of a banker to pay a check drawn on him by his customer are determined by A, countermand of payment, B, notice of the customer's death. Now, it goes on. Section 3.1 of the Bill of Exchange Act, and let me just share with you the definition under the Bill of Exchange. A Bill of Exchange is an unconditional order in writing addressed by one person to another, signed by the person giving it, requiring the person to whom it is addressed
to
pay on demand or at a fixed or determinable future time a sum certain in money, or to the order of a specified person or to a bearer. An instrument which does not comply with these conditions or which orders any act to be done in addition to the payment of money is not a bill of exchange. All right. So given that, if a bank, I am suggesting that a bank broke the law by dishonoring the check. And let me show you where the argument is. And I'm quoting from the act itself. Section 47.1 says, a bill is dishonored by non-payment when it is duly presented for payment and payment is refused or cannot be obtained, or when presented it excused, and the bill is overdue and unpaid. Subject to this act, when a bill is dishonored by non-payment, an immediate right of recourse against the drawer, that means the person who issues the check,
right,
and endorses across to the holder. So, and then it says, notice of dishonor and effect of non-notice. Under Section 48, it says, subject to this act, when a bill has been dishonored by non-acceptance or by non-payment, notice of dishonor must be given to the drawer and each endorser. Well, it would have given notice to the
drawer.
Endorser,
yeah, the guy who presented the check, right. Right.
Mm-hmm. But here it now. I want to argue that we here in the Commonwealth Caribbean, we follow British jurisprudence. As a matter of fact, when I read the Bills of Exchange Act in Barbados, mm-hmm. it is almost verbatim what was the act in good old Britain. And what I had to do is to look at the authority on checks and the interpretation of the laws regarding relating to banking. And I'm looking at the second edition of T.G. Reedy at page 378. Mm-hmm. It says, a check is a bill of exchange drawn on the banker, payable on demand, except otherwise provided in this part. The provision of this act is applicable to a bill of exchange payable on demand. So they repeat verbatim. And hear what they say. The liability, and that's on page 382, the liability of a bank to pay a check drawn on it is a conditional one owed to its customer and not to any holder of the check, because the bank, although the drawer of the check does not sign it, such a paying bank is under a duty to honor its customer's check if presented at the branch where the account is kept in proper form and within a reasonable time, provided the customer has sufficient available funds to his credit to cover the check, mm-hmm. or they are within the limit of an overdraft.
And that's why I was checking with the Sheldons. I have a copy of Sheldon's Law of Banking and Practice to find out what it said about that, because someone had pointed out to me on a previous occasion when this came up about the question of the laws of banking and whether or not some of the things that we were experiencing were permitted. You say that's page 378, right, that you were quoting from?
I'm dealing with the law. Banking, second edition mm-hmm. by T.G. Reedy.
Okay.
It's a Butterwood's publication.
Right.
And as a matter of fact, at page, I was quoting from page 378.
78, right. I got that, right. Mm. Okay.
And page 382.
The other thing I wanted to find out was the penalty for it, because we're coming to the end of this, but I really would like to continue this conversation with you, sir, if we can, because it's one of the things I think we need.
I'll call you back, because I'm sorry I was not in Barbados at the time of the debate, or I volunteered myself to come on that program.
Absolutely.
Because I'll tell you why, mm-hmm. I feel strongly about this, mm-hmm. because bankers no longer take study law related to banking.
That's true.
Practice of banking.
That's correct.
And deal with the actual practice of banking.
So I told somebody about Sheldon once, and they asked me what I was talking about. And that was a person who was holding a managerial position in a bank.
You had to learn that. You know, well, I'll call back on that, but I have the answer for you on that. On the matter of penalty.
Of the penalty, okay. Call 430-7300 and leave a number there for me, and I'll get in touch with you, sir. And thank you very much for your contribution.
No problem.
Absolutely.
Because I feel very strongly about that. I write manuals, and the banks are incorrect, and they could be sued to pay.
Okay. I am happy to hear you on this, sir. We will talk further on it. I'm glad you made the call. And thanks, Daddy Biggs, who took care of the second half of the show, for John Stout, who took care of the first half of the show. And thank you for your contributions on this, the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Been an enjoyable one for me. On behalf of the team, have a good afternoon.